You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Live on air, presented by Ger Sweeney.
Good evening and welcome. Nice to have your company for another edition of Live on Air, the first edition in a long time coming live from Ireland this evening. And I can tell you as I speak to you, the rain is hammering down. It is a very dark, wintry, dull, miserable day. But I hope things are a little bit brighter in your world. And no matter where you're listening, hopefully you can stay with me for the next hour or so. I have an interesting program lined up for you. I hope you will enjoy it. Unfortunately, we're going to be going back to the C word. We're going back to the COVID because things are afoot in Ireland. And I think we're just about to decided that some of the strictest COVID restrictions in Europe will be implemented. George Lee was with me last week and he's going to be with me again today to talk to me about that particular story. But more details coming later. As usual on the programme, we will have our famous Irish birthdays, those people celebrating birthdays in the coming week that we want to acknowledge, tip our hats to and just remember them if they've gone before us. We'll have some news from Ireland other than the COVID stories. Plenty of good Irish music in here as well. And I'll be playing the number one song from Ireland on this very day back in 2008, the 19th of October, all those years ago. What's that, 12 years ago? As usual, if you would like to contact me on the programme, the email address is ger@tre.radio. That's ger@tre.radio if you would like to get in contact at any stage. Can I say good afternoon or good evening as well to Margaret Behan. She got in touch with me recently in relation to the interview that I did with Regina Whelan Richardson. And during the interview, I did say to Regina that I would tweet out some of the contact details in relation to the Salamanca Archive, which is based at St. Patrick's Church in or St. Patrick's College in Maynooth. And I did that, but Margaret isn't on Twitter, so she got in contact with me and asked me if I would send them on, which I happily did. If you are like that and would like me to send you that or anything else that I can assist you with, please do let me know. Alrighty. Thanks, by the way, to Dave for the daily since just after 4 o'clock today. Thanks, Dave. Safe home, travelling along the A7, doing battle, as I like to call it. Will we start as we normally do with the birthdays? All right, let's do that. So today is the 19th of October, as I said, and Michael Gambon, that wonderful actor, was born on this day back in Dublin in 1940. Con Colbert, the rebel, born in Limerick in 1888 on this very day. And indeed, the train station and the bus station in, Parnell Street, isn't it? Yeah, kind of on the corner of Parnell Street and Carey's Road in Limerick is named after Con Colbert, Colbert Station. Tomorrow, Tuesday the 20th, Niamh Cusack, the actor, was born in Dublin on that day back in 1959. Owen O'Duffy, politician and soldier, born in County Monaghan in 1892. Paul O'Connell, the rugby international, born in Limerick in 1979. Mike Murphy, whom we have had the pleasure of interviewing on this particular programme, broadcaster, a businessman and now podcaster. He was born in Dublin on that day in 1941. Philomena Begley, singer, born in Pomeroy in County Tyrone in 1942. And Eddie Macken, the show jumper, born in Granard in 1949. I remember as a young fella watching Eddie Macken on, what was the name of the horse? Kerrygold, wasn't it? And Boomerang. Boomerang was another one, I think, was his horse as well. But anyway, unfortunately, Eddie no longer with us. Wednesday of this week is the 21st of October. Patrick Kavanagh, the poet, was born in Inishkeen in County Monaghan in 1904. Andrew Scott, the actor, he plays Moriarty in Sherlock alongside Dominic Cumberbatch, born in Dublin in 1976. And T.R. Dallas, the singer, was born in Moat in 1949. Thursday is the 22nd. Dominic Behan, novelist and singer, born in Dublin, 1928. Niall Breslin, otherwise known as Brezzy, singer-songwriter, born in Artane in Dublin in 1980 on that day. Next Friday is the 23rd, and Ivan Yates, former politician, former broadcaster, born in Enniscorthy in County Wexford in 1959. Una O'Connor, the actor, born in Belfast in 1880. Derek Landy, children's author, born in Lusk in 1974. And Dermot O'Brien, singer and musician. He used to play the accordion, if you remember. He was born in RD in 1932, spent the latter part of his life in the United States. But we'll have some music from him shortly. Saturday is the 24th, and Dervla Kerwin, the actor, I think most of us first came across her in Ballykiss Angel. Well, she was born in Churchtown in 1971. Emma Donoghue, author and historian, born in Dublin in 1969. Frank Delaney, author and journalist, born in Kilkenny in 1942. And Alice Corry, engineer, poet and feminist. In fact, she was the first woman in Europe to get an engineering degree. Well, Alice Corry was born in Galway in 1885. And finally, next Sunday is the 25th of October. Willie Walsh, businessman, born in Dublin in 1961. He's currently head of AIG, isn't he? Or is it just British Airways? I think it's AIG. Anyway, he's involved with, he used to be the head of Aer Lingus, then went to British Airways. Now I think it's AIG. Anyway, he's retiring soon. Micheál MacLeamore, actor and writer, was born on the 25th of October back in 1899. So there we go. That's our birthday file for today. A rather extensive one it is too. I did promise some music from that particular list, as we normally do. Wherever there is a musical birthday, we try and facilitate that. Let's go back to Friday the 23rd of October 1932. Dermot O'Brien, singer and musician, was born, and here he is.
My kids say, Dad, just tell us one more time about when you were young and in your prime, and the way that you met Ma, and everything you saw, and tell us all the things you used to do. So I close my eyes and roll the years away, and everything's as clear as yesterday. For how could I forget that summer when we met? It was Dublin town, 1962. All our days were sunny, and all our skies were blue in Dublin town, 1962. We'd climb the hill of hope and down again. Walked home from the pillar in the rain. We courted in the park when the lights glowed in the dark. Danced in Cleary's and the Metropole till two. We crossed the Halfpenny Bridge at eventide. It felt so good to have you by my side. And we watched the mailboat sail. Paper boys cried, herald and mail. In Dublin town, 1962. All our days were sunny, and all our skies were blue. In Dublin town, 1962. Anymore, we kissed it all goodbye. Sailed away to give our luck a try. In this land across the sea, that's been good to you and me. Where our children play as we once used to do. While my kids say, Dad, that's really quite a tale. We can see you have the spirit of the gale. And we know there's no regret, and we're very glad you met in Dublin town in 1962. All our days were sunny, and all our skies were blue in Dublin town in 1962. Sunny, and all our skies were blue in Dublin town in 1962.
That's a great song from Dermot O'Brien. It's called Dublin 62. He was born in RD on the 23rd of October back in 1932. Unfortunately, no longer with us. Dermot O'Brien, nice song it is as well. All right, let's give you a little bit of news. And one of the biggest stories in Ireland over the past week, apart from COVID, apart from Brexit and apart from the budget, which really didn't get much of a look in, maybe for a few hours on Tuesday, but that was about it. But the biggest story, I think, that's been running for the last number of days in Ireland has been about a dolphin. Not any dolphin, though. The much-loved Dingle dolphin called Fungi. And if you've ever been to Dingle over the last 30 years or thereabouts, you'll know all about Fungi. Concerns have been raised again about the whereabouts of Fungi. The popular dolphin hasn't been seen, but a local fisherman by the name of Paul Hand said that he spotted the dolphin off the Dingle coast in Kerry. However, that sighting was on Friday. And within hours, questions were again being asked about the whereabouts of the dolphin, something local mariners say is very unusual. Now, on Saturday evening, a Facebook page belonging to Dingle Sea Safari Tours said that they had been searching for fungi for almost 12 hours. They said, "Our fungi boat has been out searching for fungi since 8 o'clock this morning." And the post continued to say that so far there has been no sighting reported. "We have to say at this stage it's very unusual for fungi not to show himself for this length of time. We will keep you updated as time goes on. Hopefully we will have better news later today." They didn't. And still, there isn't much news about fungi. Many locals and fishermen have been talking to media outlets from across the country. And one Dingle local did say that a pod of dolphins in the bay recently may have prompted the solitary creature to move away for a few days. The bottlenose dolphin is said to have been first spotted in Dingle back in 1983. During tourist season, the friendly fungi is a popular attraction with thousands flocking, hoping to see the dolphin, and boat tours centred around offering sightings of him. So there we go. Hopefully he is just off on his holidays. He'd have to isolate, of course, when he comes back. But anyway, that's a different story. I did mention that Dominic Behan would have been celebrating his birthday on the 22nd, which is next Thursday, the 22nd, born in 1928. Let's take a track from Dominic Behan.
Oh, Liverpool, lovely Liverpool, why don't you behave just like other girls do? Why must my poor heart keep following you? Stay home and love me, my Liverpool, when I go a-walking. Hear people talking, school children playing. I know what they're saying. They're saying you'll grieve me, that you will deceive me. Some morning you'll leave me, all packed up and gone. Oh, Liverpool, lovely Liverpool, why don't you behave just like other girls do? Why must my poor heart keep following you? Stay home and love me, my Liverpool. The sounds from the river keep telling me ever that I should forget you, like I'd never met you. Tell me their song, love, was never more wrong, love. Say I belong, love, to my Liverpool, oh Liverpool, lovely Liverpool. Why don't you behave just like other girls do? Why must my poor heart keep following you? Stay home and love me, my Liverpool.
Dominic Behan, a singer, as you can hear, songwriter as well, wrote that song called Liverpool Loo, and he wasn't the only person to record it. He would have been celebrating his birthday next Thursday. He was born on the 22nd of October in 1928. There we go, a brother, of course, of Brendan Behan. I am going to take a quick commercial break, come back to me just after that, and I'll be talking to George Lee about what's happening in relation to restrictions in Ireland. So please do not go anywhere.
Live on Era, presented by Jer Sweeney.
Welcome to the second part of the program. As I said to you at the top, at the start of the program, I didn't really want to come back to this subject. I didn't really want to have George on either, but there you go. That's the way things happen. George Lee joins me again. George, it's nice to be in the same country as you anyway at the minute.
Absolutely. I'm just taking off my mask here, Ger.
It's kind of gone that
cleaning
way.
Cleaning my glasses.
Yeah, it's just kind of gone that way. All right. Look, the weather is bad. We're heading into the winter. And as we speak, our government, the Irish government, is meeting, the cabinet is meeting to discuss what we're going to do and the level of restrictions. Now, for the second time in about 2.5 weeks, NPHET, and we explained that NPHET was the National Public Health Emergency Team, have recommended or has recommended to government that we go to level 5, which is close down the country, essentially, as we discussed last week. And that was, that decision was made, and that letter was written to the Health Minister, Stephen Donnelly. I could be forgiven for making that mistake when we come back to that in a second, on Friday. And there has been no decision made, but a lot of talking done in government buildings over the last few days. As I said, at the moment, George, they are trying to decide what we're going to do. And listening to the commentary so far today, I'll just give you the headlines because I know you know this, but it's important that we kind of say what's coming. They're calling it level 4++, so it's not level 4, it's not level 5. They're talking about these restrictions until about the 19th of November, which is 4 weeks. Closing non-essential businesses, and that includes things like hairdressers. A lot of people are concerned about that. They're going to look at the hours that the off-licences can work. Whether they'll do anything is another story. Travel restrictions, and they're saying that we can only travel up to about 10 kilometres other than essential journeys for work and education, looking after vulnerable people and so on. Schools to remain open, construction sites to remain open, and GAA elite games to be able to continue. They are what are considered to be possibly what's in the announcement coming later this evening. What are your thoughts on it, George?
First of all, I would take all of that, Ger, with a large health warning for a number of reasons. Number one is obviously, look, it was probably strategically leaked to the RTE correspondent. And I think if you were hearing the same news as one that I heard, that's really where it came from. But many slip twixt cup and lip comes to mind.
Yeah.
And there is, from what I can gather, quite a lot of division within the cabinet about this. Also remember now that we have a very interesting dynamic because we have three parties in there. Mm-hmm. All of them will want to have their mark on it, but none of them will want to be blamed for it.
They won't want to own it.
So there's a sense of that. Look, there is a weariness, Ger, and I'm weary. Interestingly, on our own family WhatsApp this morning, one of my sisters, who's the eternal optimist, put up an empowering picture or whatever it was, and I went back and said, I'm looking out the window here. I'm finding it very difficult to be up this morning in terms of my own mood, at which point my other sisters jumped in and kind of said, are you all right?
Okay, right.
But I think an awful lot of us are going to have to start asking our friends and our neighbours, are you all right? Mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of people aren't going to be all right. And I think when we've had this discussion, we've discussed it on air before, when the original and then the initial lockdown came, we were coming into the springtime.
Yeah.
People could get out and walk. You could get out and exercise. You were wearing the shorts. There was still a little bit of hope left, you know, that maybe by the end of the summer, this thing will be gone and we'll be all happy and things will, you know, we might get in that holiday before Christmas or whatever it is. And that still was in the back of the minds. Now we're into dark mornings, dark evenings. And this morning was here in Ireland, was very dark. It was as dark as I've seen it.
It was.
It was my first time actually bringing my daughter to school this winter that I had to turn on the lights in the car on the way over.
Okay.
And that's always a sign that it's closing in. The 19th of October, and look, there isn't a whole lot of hope left that we're going to get out of this in a hurry.
No, and they're talking about a lead-in period. They're saying that this mightn't come into effect until Wednesday night, Thursday morning or thereabouts. And they're hoping that in all of that, there's going to be new powers for enforcement. And that's been a big problem. I think you may have seen the same things I've seen online, where people are now, you know, basically refusing to cooperate with the police. police and the guards, when they stop them and say, where are you going and why are you going there? Well, you've no right, you've no powers. And that's going to make it very difficult. So graduated fines being discussed, is that a good thing?
It is, yeah. Look, I've no doubt it is, Ger. And it's almost like a Pareto rule here. I think 20% of the population are bringing down 80% of people who want to do things right. And I think it is as high as 20%. And I
do
mean
you?
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I think between people who, and Mary Favier was on the TV yesterday evening, and Mary Favier is the GP's representative. The general practitioner, so the you know, the common or garden family doctor, and she was on the TV, and she said, you know, everybody takes this attitude of it's only one game, sure, it's only my neighbour,
right.
Sure, it's only the once that I'm breaching it, and she said that is what's leading into all of these things, and maybe we need a big stick. Maybe that's the way we are in this country. You know, we didn't slow down until the speed vans arrived.
Right. Yeah, we didn't stop smoking until the smoker ban came in.
Yeah, you know, maybe there is a bit of that. Now, the problem in all of that is that it would be applied correctly, and nobody wants to go back to jackboot, you know, days of people, the guard in the yard, you know. The other side of it is, I think maybe that if the guards, and I know talking, actually, and I spoke to somebody in the traffic corps only last week about this, a friend of mine, and he was saying, look, none of us want to be outside in the middle of the dual carriageway. And by the way, other aspects of policing can suffer as a result of it as
That's
well.
That's it, yeah.
But he said, you know, he said, if a guy tells me what to do with myself outside in the middle of the dual carriageway when I ask him where he's going, he said, I have no power. He said, in fact, he said, it happened to me last week. And he said, I decided to take a walk around his car and see if he had a broken gun
lamp
or a bald tire or something. And he said, and I could find nothing on the car. He said, but he said, that's what you're down to. So his attitude was, look, we do need powers here. We need to be helped. And some people need help to be helped, if you know what I mean.
Toy shops. This is moving into the busiest time of the year because, as we know, Santa Claus would rely heavily on toy shops at this time. And I heard a number of people at lunchtime today asking the government that they would re-categorise toy shops as being essential businesses. And your heart would go out to people who may not be online, who might be family businesses or old businesses that have never moved with the times. And they're going to be decimated with this.
You see, again, here we are. You have the scales. On one hand, there's a reason why we're closing down all of these shops and why we're closing down retail, why we're closing down or purportedly to be closing down all of this. And the reason for that is that we have a pandemic and we have a virus that's going through our community and killing people, quite honestly. On the other side of this, you have the economy, you have people trying to make a living, you have businesses that have survived maybe for 50 years, maybe for 60 years, or family businesses, and you're trying to balance that. Where does it start and where does it finish? Because you see, it's a little bit like what they say about bad laws. You know, hard cases make bad laws, Ger. And if you can make a hard case, and you can make a hard case for anything, you know, where do you start and where do you finish with it? Now, my heart does go out to small businesses. My heart does go out to mom and pop operations and people looking into the 19th of November. And even just listening to the opposition and particularly to Alan Kelly, who's the leader of the Labour Party, who did have a briefing from Micheál Martin last night, by all accounts. And the point, what he was saying was that he wasn't going to tell what Micheál Martin said. But I think some of what he was saying was that Micheál Martin's attitude may have been a little bit like, look, we're going to go for this hard lockdown until the 19th of November. Then we'll go to level three maybe for until, you know, maybe Christmas week, with the effect that maybe we can go to level two for Christmas week and maybe the first week in January and then pull it back up again and at least give people a Christmas so that they can bring home their relatives, whatever it is. Ger, if we do that, I think we're in big trouble.
I think we are. I would absolutely 100% agree with you, because you're either doing something because it is a danger or you're not. It's as simple as that. And so they either do this or they don't do it. I was going to say to you, where do you think this is all going? But you don't know anything any more than I know. And we were talking at lunchtime on the phone today when these measures were announced as being possibles. And you were saying that while you've been fortunate in that you have been at work right throughout all of this, you know, that there are elements that have suffered in inverted commas in your particular life. Wouldn't you hate to be dependent on a job that is just going again or maybe going for good?
Absolutely, Chair. And look, there's none of us, I suppose, haven't been affected in some way.
Yeah.
I've been affected in very small ways, but cumulatively, when you put it all together, I've been affected, I suppose, in a fairly major way. My own kids, particularly, have been work in the leisure industry, and while they're part-time jobs and all of that, you know, they are their sanity, and they do love to go to work, and they do love to meet people, and it's their way of getting out and about. They don't want to be drawing 200 quid or 300 quid or whatever the payment is, no more than anyone, when they can be doing a day's work. And that's a difficulty. But my heart goes out to people who today are going to be pulling down a shutter on a shop or a pub or, you know, a beauty salon or whatever it is. And they don't know when they're going to be pulling that back up again, if ever. You know, and how much of this can our economy take, you know, on one side, and how much of this can people's mental health take on the other side? And like, it's Hobson's choice for the government here.
If you look at what's happening in Italy, if you look at what's happening in Spain, in France, I think the Netherlands as well. And of course, when you look across at the UK or look at Northern Ireland, are we taking too drastic a look and a view at this, or is what we're doing necessary, and will it pay dividends?
There's one big difference between Ireland and all the rest of those countries, Ger, and that is the fact that we have a land border. And unfortunately, the land border with the territory that we have the land border with currently has the highest rates of COVID in Europe. And it is just unbelievable to think that we can pull up an imaginary border, because that's what it is, and expect that COVID will respect it, because COVID is no respecter of anything. So, look, we have to do something drastic here to address our numbers. You know, we can't be looking at Europe. We can't be looking at Spain or France or Portugal or Italy or Germany or wherever it is. Really, we just have to worry about ourselves at this stage. We need to figure out how best, and this is the job of government, and we had this conversation the last day, the job of NPHET is to crunch the figures, is to look at public health, and is to make a recommendation. The job of government then is to balance that with economy, with health, with all of the other aspects of life as we know it. And I actually think that we need to err on the side of caution here. And I think what we're doing is right. In fact, you know, there's a part of me says, are we even going far enough for this stage? Will we look back and say, this was an opportunity lost?
Couple of weeks ago, George, when NPHET wanted Ireland to move to level 5 and we said, no, we'll go to level 3, was that a mistake?
You see, there was a couple of things playing in. Timing-wise, I think it was a mistake.
Right.
Direct question, direct answer. But I think timing-wise, from a government point of view, and I did say this to you on air at the time, was that we were 1 week away from our budget.
Yeah.
The government needed time to try to figure out what they were going to do in terms of the PUP payments, and they're the payments that will be made to people that will be out of work, how they were going to do that, how they were going to put in contact tracing, because for all intents and purposes, apparently contact tracing has completely gone out the window now, because there's just too many cases to contact trace, too many are community transmission cases at this point, that they just can't get to the bottom of it. So look, I think they needed a lead in time to make things work for them.
All right, George, I'm going to leave it at that. We have to wait and see what happens in full. And as you say, let's put our heads together and see if there's some ways that we can come up with ideas to make life a little bit better for people, even those listening at the minute. How's that?
All right. Nice bit of music, maybe, Ger.
Lovely. I have just the thing. George, thanks very much. We'll chat to you soon.
God bless.
Drive home.
say play some nice music, and that's exactly what you have there. That is Philomena Begley and Truck Driving Woman. Philomena celebrates her birthday this coming week as well, so we wish her a very happy birthday. Now, following on, there's been a lot of reaction throughout the day as to what may or may not be announced this evening. And following on from the conversation with George, I see that the situation with testing and contact tracing for teachers has become simply untenable, according to the Irish National Teachers Organisation, that's the INTO. In a statement issued earlier today, the union has sought urgent clarity on a number of matters as the country appears to be set to move to tougher restrictions in the next few days. The government has indicated it still intends to keep schools open under the kind of level 4 plus restrictions that are expected. However, the INTO said today that in recent weeks it's become increasingly concerned that public health precautions for teachers are inadequate. The union said that many primary teachers have underlying health conditions or have family members whose health is at risk from COVID-19. Now, the union has said that the threat associated with rising levels of infection in communities is leading to apprehension and anxiety among school staff nationwide, especially in counties where level 4 restrictions already apply. I'm reading that story from thejournal.ie, which has other stories relating to the expected announcements a little later on. I also see that as of this afternoon, 820 new cases of COVID-19 have been confirmed in Northern Ireland today. So the figures are coming down ever so slightly in Northern Ireland, but still obviously at a very, very high figure. I also see that the number of people in the Republic receiving COVID-19 unemployment payment has risen by over 15,000. Wow. The Department of Social Protection confirmed this morning that 244,153 people are now in receipt of the welfare payment, which is up 228,858 people on last week. That is a staggering increase over the last 7 days. The value of payments issued today totaled €65.5 million, which is a rise of €4.1 million over the last 7 days. And the number of people on the payment has now risen by 38,560 in the last 2 weeks following the implementation of level 3 measures across the country. I wonder if we're all hale and hearty this time next week, what numbers and figures and amounts will we be talking about? But I suppose when it comes to talking about people's health, I suppose it's not at all a concern, really, is it? No. I did mention when I was talking to George that hairdressers would be among the businesses expected to be closing the doors. And apparently they've been very busy over the weekend with longer hours and extra appointments ahead of restrictions which could close their doors. The president of the Irish Hairdressers Federation has said. Now, Danielle Kennedy said that Friday and Saturday were very busy days, with some salons normally closed on Sundays opening their doors to take in more clients. I know, she said, some salons did open yesterday as well. My own salon is open from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. today and hopefully tomorrow, all going well, to accommodate everybody, Miss Kennedy told thejournal.ie. So you can see that people are very concerned about not just their health and their shopping, but also very much how they look as well. Right, I think what we'll do is break up the little bit of chat and let's take another piece of music. What are we going to play for you? Oh yeah, I thought we'd introduce a little bit of entertainment, a little bit of fun as well, because it's been all kind of doom and gloom, hasn't it? Yeah. Back in the 1980s, one of the TV programmes that you and I and others were glued to was Dallas. Do you remember when JR got shot? Yeah. And I don't know whether it was the same in Spain, probably not, but maybe in the UK it was, where people had sun visors with "I shot JR Ewing" on it and things like that. Well, a fella called T.R. Dallas, and we mentioned T.R. a little while ago in the birthday file, he wrote and sang a song called "Who Shot JR Ewing?" And here it is for you.
Topic of the day right across the nation is not the presidential race, a galloping inflation. Who cares about the weather or what Russia might be doing? But everybody wants to know is who shot J.R. Ewing.
Who shot J.R. Ewing? Who shot old J.R. Down? Who shot that son of a Texas gun that died in Dallas Town? Well, I know he had it coming, but the truth it must be found. Can anybody tell me who shot J.R. Down? Now, J.R., he's a Texan, an Isle Man through and through, and he knows an Isle Man's got to do what an Isle Man's got to do. So he played it hard and he played it rough, and then once in a while he stabbed somebody in the back, but he'd do it with a smile. Who shot J.R. Ewing? Who shot old J.R. Down? Who shot that son of a Texas gun that night in Dallas Town? Well, I know we had it coming, but the truth, it must be found. Can anybody tell me who shot J.R. Down? Well, it might have been Sue Ellen. She was once Miss Tennessee. And when she married old J.R., she lost her sanity. Or it might have been her sister, the woman J.R. scorned. Or his younger brother Bobby, maybe daddy or his mom. Who shot J.R. Ewing? Who shot old J.R. Down? Who shot that son of a Texas gun that night in Dallas Town? Well, I know we had it coming, but the truth, it must be found. Can anybody tell me who shot J.R. Down? Who shot J.R. Ewing? That's what I'd like to know. It happened right before me on my favorite TV show. Now it had to be one of five or six, but the question is which one? Can anybody tell me who shot J.R. Down?
The world has a right to know. When I asked Chuck, did he shoot J.R.? He said, hell no. After all, J.R. is my own flesh and blood. And I said, that's as good a motive as any. Then I asked Sue Ellen. She flashed her little eyes at me and said, why? I wouldn't do a thing like that to my darling husband, would I? That only left Miss Ellie. She said she didn't do it, but she knew who did. I said, who? And she told me, you know who it was? Yeah?
That is T.R. Dallas from the 1980s and Who Shot J.R. Ewing? Now, next week, next Monday's programme, the 26th, is the programme before Halloween. And we talked a lot about Christmas being affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. I suppose Halloween is going to be affected as well. And Chief Medical Officer here in Ireland, Dr. Tony Houlihan, was asked about Halloween at a briefing recently. He said that public health officials want to stop people gathering and children and families should not move between houses trick-or-treating in the way that normally happens at Halloween. And I suppose in the light of that news, people have been posting ideas online for COVID-compliant ways to celebrate. But it just crossed my mind that several people have been saying that they'll keep in touch with scary movies. They're talking about doing spooky walks in the woods on their own, obviously. Others include indoor scavenger hunts for children, traditional Halloween games like bobbing for apples and coins, all just under the one roof, staying with our families. But it just crossed my mind. Maybe you've got some ideas for people. And if you have, you can send it to me, ger@tre.radio. That is our email address. And I'll be happy to give them the mention next week on the programme. Right, that's it for this particular part of the programme. Don't go anywhere, please.
Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney.
Welcome back, and indeed welcome to the final part of the programme. Each week I like to present a number one from way back when. Today we're going back to 2008, and I know I played this particular group on the programme maybe 3, 4, 5 weeks ago, but I thought it was a great number one, and it was yet at number one on the 19th of October, 2008, The Saw Doctors.
'Cause I know how I feel about you now. It was so easy that night.
They were at number one in Ireland on this very day back in 2008, 12 years ago, with that particular song called About You Now. We regularly give mentions to James Joyce, and if Roger Comiskey, our Joycean, is listening, this will be of interest to him. He'll probably know all about it already. But Dublin City Council has given the green light to a contentious plan to turn James Joyce's House of the Dead on Dublin's Quay into a 50-bed tourist hostel. Now, the council has granted planning permission for the proposal after the planner in the case concluded that the proposed change of use to a tourist hostel will be the best way to secure its long-term conservation. The house is based at 15 Ushers Island on Dublin 8, was once home to James Joyce's grand-aunts and the setting of Joyce's best-known short story called The Dead. The plan by Fergus McCabe and Brian Steins last year provoked a backlash, with one of the country's most popular writers, Colm Tobin, claiming that the hostel plan will destroy an essential part of Ireland's cultural history. The Department of Heritage also lodged a hard-hitting objection, claiming that the proposal will undermine, diminish and devalue a site of universal cultural heritage importance and part of the UNESCO City of Literature designation. However, the planning report recommending permission stated that the building is capable of being converted into a new use and any harmful extensions or modifications have been removed from the scheme. The council states that the plan would allow for the refurbishment, conservation, repair and extension to an existing protected structure. The council planning report also stated that the existing protected structure is of special interest. However, its current condition is of concern and the proposed change of use would be the best way to secure its long-term conservation. In other words, someone else will have to do the work and it'll still be conserved. It's good news that the building is going to be upgraded and modernised and it will be conserved, which is absolutely brilliant. So we wish them well with that and see how the project continues. Let's have a final piece of music on the programme. This man celebrating his birthday next Thursday, born on the 22nd of October, back in 1980 in Artane in Dublin. Niall Breslin, we know him as Brezzy. Here's a great song, it's called You Can't Stay Young Forever.
Some things fade, some fade faster, some stay longer and disappear. Some get weak and others stronger as they discover what true love means. Some of us get high, but some fall deeper, just fall deeper and can't get out. Which of these am I? Stay young forever.
That's Niall Breslin, otherwise known as Brezzy. That's a song called Can't Stay Young Forever. And that is a fact because we play that because he's celebrating his birthday this coming week on Thursday. He was born in 1980 in Artane in Dublin. So we wish Brezzy a very happy birthday. That is my lot. But before I go, two things I want to mention to you. Firstly, I know that the lads and the girdles here have mentioned this already, but I want to give it a mention. Some listeners on iPhone and iPads have been experiencing problems with the TRE app over the last wee while. Now, this was due to the latest Apple update to iOS 14.01. The problem has now thankfully been resolved, but you will need to go to the App Store to update the Talk Radio Europe app, and then normal service will be resumed. So just in case you know somebody who's having trouble, or maybe you're having trouble yourself, that is the reason why, and that is how you sort it all out. That's the first thing. The second thing is a reminder of something I told you last week, that from the 6th of January, which is a Wednesday, Live on Air will be moving to Wednesday between 6 and 7 here on Talk Radio Europe. You will hear more about that over the next number of weeks, but there's about 10 or 11 weeks before it happens. So it won't be for a while before we start reminding you constantly. But I just wanted to reaffirm that message that I gave you last week, that as of the 6th of January 2021, live on ERA, the Irish programme will be only on Wednesday between 6 and 7pm. There you go. All right. Thanks very much to you for tuning in. I do hope you've enjoyed the programme. Thanks to George Lee for his informative contribution as per usual and amusing. Always nice to talk to George. Can I say a big thank you to our Spanish-Irish cultural advisor, Jose Antonio Sierra. And I'm going to say hello to Patricia Traynor as well. Patricia is a regular contributor to the programme and I know she's tuned in. So Patricia, a big hello to you and greetings from a wet Emerald Isle. Right. Good luck. Next week, I'm filling in for Dave on the daily. So next Monday, along with having me for Live on ERA, you'll have me from 4 to 6 doing the daily and then from 6 to 7 with Live on ERA. All right. And I'll be with you for the rest of the week next week as well for the daily. Right. That's it. Good luck. So mind yourselves. And thanks for listening in. Until next week, from me, Ger Sweeney. Bye bye.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this programme, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, R-I-T-E-R-U-G.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.